Section 4, Call to Freedom, Life During the War. Page 492. Text box in the left. Secretary of State William H. Seward was a key member of Lincoln's cabinet. The story continues. In July 1862, President Lincoln met privately with members of his cabinet, including William H. Seward, to discuss freeing the slaves in the South, a topic of great concern to him. Lincoln felt that slavery strengthened and supported the South. Quote, "We must free the slaves or be ourselves subdued, defeated," end quote. He explained. Lincoln's cabinet members told him to wait for a better time to put his plan into action. Freeing the slaves. President Lincoln supported freeing slaves if it would help the North win the war. Many people in the North wanted to end slavery for other reasons. Some wished to punish Southern slaveholders for their role in causing the war. Others argued that continuing slavery would lead to future conflict between the North and the South. Lincoln faced two problems concerning emancipation, or the freeing of the slaves. First, he feared that Northern prejudice against African Americans might weaken support for the war if emancipation became a Union goal. He was also afraid that some Northerners would, page 493, consider slaves to be property that Southerners had the right to keep. In addition, the Constitution did not give the President the power to end slavery in the United States. Lincoln decided to issue a military order freeing slaves only in areas controlled by the Confederacy. Lincoln felt that his authority to end slavery did not apply to the loyal slaveholding border states. He also did not want to anger citizens in these states. President Lincoln waited for a Northern victory in the East before announcing his plans. The Battle of Antietam was the victory he needed. On September 22, 1862, Lincoln called for all slaves in Confederate-controlled areas to be freed. This Emancipation Proclamation went into effect on January 1, 1863. News of the order encouraged Southern slaves to escape when they heard that Union troops were nearby. This loss of slave labor hurt the Southern economy and the Confederate war effort. Many African Americans and Northerners praised the Emancipation Proclamation. Abolitionist Frederick Douglass called January 1, 1863, quote, "the great day which is to determine the destiny or fate, not only of the American Republic, but that of the American continent," end quote. There was also popular support for the proclamation in Great Britain and France. Many Northern Democrats, however, opposed the Emancipation Proclamation. They wanted only to restore the Union, not to end slavery. A few abolitionists, on the other hand, argued that Lincoln had not gone far enough. William Lloyd Garrison complained that the President had left, quote, "slavery as a system still to exist in all the so-called loyal slave states," end quote. Top of the page, text box. Emancipation in 1863. Interpreting maps. The Emancipation Proclamation freed slaves in states that were in rebellion against the Union. The proclamation did not, however, free slaves in Union states or in areas occupied by Union troops. Skills assessment. Place and region. In which states were slaves granted freedom by the Emancipation Proclamation? Summarizing. What was the location of most of the states where slaveholding remained legal? Write text box, bottom of the page, global connections, reactions to emancipation. Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation drew the attention of many people in Europe. Some workers from Manchester, England, wrote to the President, quote, "We joyfully honor you for your belief in the words of your great founders. All men are created free and equal," end quote. A British noble praised the Union's high moral purpose in the Civil War. Giuseppe Garibaldi, an Italian leader, held Lincoln as, quote, "the heir of the aspirations or dreams of abolitionist John Brown," end quote. How did some Europeans react to the Emancipation Proclamation? Page 494. I will begin with the text box on the left. Daily Life. African American Soldiers. Frederick Douglass encouraged African Americans to fight in the Union Army, called it their, quote, "golden opportunity." Many men responded to the call. Despite making up only 2% of the North's population, African Americans made up nearly 10% of the Union Army by the end of the war. Although they faced discrimination, many soldiers celebrated the opportunity to fight for freedom. What reasons do you think African Americans would have had for joining the Union Army cause despite facing discrimination? African Americans and the War. The question of whether to permit African Americans to serve in the military also troubled many Northern leaders. The Union Navy had already been accepting African American volunteers. Since the war began, abolitionists had called for the Union Army to recruit African Americans as well. Frederick Douglass stated that military service would help African Americans earn equal rights. Quote, "Once let the black man get upon his person the brass letters, U.S., and a musket on his shoulders and bullets in his pockets, and there is no power on earth which can deny that he has earned the right to citizenship." End quote. Frederick Douglass, quoted in Battle Cry of Freedom by James McPherson. Northern leaders also saw a practical reason to enlist African Americans. The Union needed soldiers. Congress allowed the Army to sign up African American volunteers as laborers in July of 1862. The War Department also gave contrabands, or escaped slaves, the right to join the Union Army in South Carolina. Free African Americans in Louisiana and Kansas also formed units in the Union Army. By the spring of 1863, African American units were fighting in the field with the Union Army. They took part in a Union attack on Port Hudson, Louisiana, in May of 1863. The 54th Massachusetts Infantry consisted mostly of free African Americans. In July of 1863, this regiment played a key role in the attack on South Carolina's Fort Wagner. Lewis Douglas, Frederick Douglass's son, fought in the battle. Quote, "My regiment, unit, has established its reputation as a fighting regiment. Not a man flinched," end quote, he proudly wrote home. The 54th became the most famous African-American unit of the war. Page 495. About 180,000 African-Americans served with the Union Army during the war. Despite discrimination, African-American soldiers fought bravely for most of the war. African Americans received less pay than white soldiers. They were usually led by white officers. They also faced greater danger from Confederate troops who often killed African American prisoners of war or sold them into slavery. In 1864, President Lincoln suggested rewarding African American soldiers in Louisiana by giving them the right to vote. He also wrote a letter praising the contributions of African Americans to the military effort. Quote, "Abandon all the posts now possessed by black men. Surrender all these advantages to the enemy, and we would be compelled or forced to abandon the war in 3 weeks," end quote. Abraham Lincoln, quoted in Battle Cry of Freedom by James McPherson. Analyzing primary sources, identifying points of view. How does Lincoln view African-American soldiers? Problems in the North. The issue of ending slavery added to the problems already brewing in the North. Northerners were growing upset by the length of the war and the increasing numbers of casualties. A group of Northern Democrats, led by Clement L. Vallandigham of Ohio, began to speak out against the war. War supporters compared these Democrats to a poisonous type of snake, calling them copperheads. Many copperheads were Midwesterners who sympathized with the South, objected to abolition, and wanted the war to end. Vallandigham asked what the war had gained and then said, quote, "Let the dead at Fredericksburg and Vicksburg answer," end quote. Lincoln believed the copperheads threatened the war effort. To stop them, he suspended the rights of habeas corpus, the constitutional bottom text box interpreting political cartoons, the copperheads. In this cartoon, Northern Democrats who called for peace are shown as deadly copperhead snakes threatening the Union. Why do you think the artist chose to depict these politicians in this way? Page 496. Continued from 495, the constitutional protection against unlawful imprisonment. By ignoring this protection, Union officials could put their enemies in jail without either evidence or trial. Lincoln's actions greatly angered Democrats. More debate arose in March of 1863, when Congress passed a law allowing men to be drafted into military service. Critics noted that dishonesty in the draft was common. Wealthy people could legally buy their way out of military service. The Copperheads complained that it was unfair to force unwilling white men to fight for the freedom of Southern slaves. Other critics shared this belief. In July of 1863, riots targeting African Americans and draft officials broke out in New York City. Many of the rioters were poor immigrants, afraid of losing their jobs to freed African Americans. Rioters damaged a great deal of property and killed more than 110 people before Union troops could stop the violence. Textbooks, box on the left, research on the ROM. Free find. Mary Boykin Chestnut. After reading about Mary Boykin Chestnut on the Holt Researcher CD-ROM, imagine that you are writing an entry in her journal. Describe the situation faced by the Confederacy during a particular period of the Civil War. Connecting to economics, needs, and wants. The shortages in the South during the Civil War, both at home and on the battlefield, help illustrate the economic needs, or ideas of needs and wants. Needs are those things that you require for survival, such as food and clothing. Economic activities produce those things people need and want. However, there is no way for an economy to provide for everyone's needs and wants. Therefore, people make choices. Economists study the ways in which people make these choices. For example, they study how people meet their needs when there is a limited amount of necessary resources. They also study how wants can change from one situation or culture to another. What role do needs and wants play in the economy? Southern struggles. The South also faced many challenges. The North's naval blockade took a heavy toll on Southerners. Soldiers did not have enough supplies. Quote, every day we grow weaker. Already they, the Confederate soldiers, begin to cry out for more ammunition, and already the blockade is beginning to shut it all out, end quote, wrote Mary Boykin Chestnut. The value of Confederate money fell as Southern exports dropped. The price of food, clothing, and medicine shot up as supplies ran low. Basic items, such as bread, cost more than people could afford. The severe shortages caused unrest in the South. In the spring of 1863, food riots took place in several Southern cities, including Richmond. Southern officials ordered local newspapers not to mention these riots. Confederate President Jefferson Davis feared that the news would embarrass the South and encourage the North to keep fighting. The government of the Confederacy faced problems because its officials disagreed on many issues. There was also controversy among Southerners over their new draft laws, approved by Davis in 1862, despite much criticism. One problem was that the Southern draft did not apply to men who held many slaves. This rule angered poor Southerners, who generally held few, if any, slaves. Confederate private Sam Watkin wrote that the draft laws, quote, raised the howl of rich man's war, poor man's fight, end quote. The draft was very unpopular in rural areas such as western North Carolina. Hatred of the draft and some pro-Union feelings in this region led to protests. Some Southerners even took up arms against Confederate officials. Page 497, Life on the Front. In both the North and the South, the war effort involved people at all levels of society. People too young or too old for military service worked in factories, on farms, and in other areas. Southern women also ran farms and plantations after their husbands and sons went to war. Women played an important role in providing medical care for soldiers. Dorothea Dix headed more than 3,000 women who served as paid nurses in the Union Army. Clara Barton worked as a volunteer organizing the collection of medicine and supplies for delivery to Union troops on the battlefield. Barton often remained at field hospitals to comfort the wounded. Her work formed the basis for what would become the American Red Cross. Women in the South also cared for sick and wounded soldiers. For example, Sally Louise Tompkins established a hospital in Richmond. The effort of these women volunteers was very important. Soldiers faced great danger in daily life as well as in battles. For every day of fighting, soldiers spent weeks living in uncomfortable and unhealthy camps. They faced bad weather, disease, and unsafe food. About twice as many Civil War soldiers died of disease than died in combat. Military prisoners also suffered greatly during the Civil War. The worst conditions were at Andersonville in southwestern Georgia. Thousands of Union soldiers were held there with no shelter and little food. Following her visit to the prison, Southerner Eliza Andrews was told that, quote, "At one time, the prisoners died at the rate of 150 a day," end quote. Text box on the right, interpreting the visual record. Camp life. Civil War soldiers on both sides often brought their families to camp with them. What do you think some of the advantages and disadvantages of soldiers having their families with them might be? Section 4 review. Define and explain contrabands, habeas corpus. 2. Identify and explain Emancipation Proclamation, 54th Massachusetts Infantry, Copperheads, and Clara Barton. Question 4A, finding the main idea. Describe how each of the following groups reacted to the Emancipation Proclamation: African Americans, abolitionists, and Copperheads.